Okay, now something that's come up fairly recently, and this is probably for jumps, very important jumps in the level of contributions paid by an employer. There's the issue of spreading of employer contributions. So how does that work? Where there's an increase in the level of employer contributions from one period to the next, and that increase is over 210% of what it originally was, then the HMRC rules require that the tax relief is to be spread evenly over a number of years. The first 110% of the increase is relievable in the current year, and the excess is dealt with on what I'm going to describe as a sliding scale. So the excess, that is over 110%, if the excess is less than $500,000, and for most of us that's going to be the case, if indeed we run into this at all, then I'm pleased to say that the tax relief is all going to be obtained in the current year. But if on the very odd chance that it may be over $500,000, then you're going to have to spread, and depending upon the size of the contribution, it's going to be spread over 2 years up to 4 years. So I'll just mention that one in passing. I suspect that most of our clients are not going to be in that. We may get the odd rare bird indeed. Okay, ever onwards and upwards. Let's talk very quickly about the assets that a pension scheme can actually invest in. Now, for most of us, when we give our money away to pension funds, we're not really very bothered what they do with them. But some people like to have control, and therefore they don't want to leave it to the pension house to make the decisions. They want to control it themselves. And of course, the classic vehicle for doing that is the SIP, the Self-Invested Personal Pension Scheme, where basically you take control and decide what you're going to invest in. So if you like a particular asset, you can invest into that. But remind yourself, please, that there are certain assets that you cannot invest into. The important one is residential property, but also other personal chattels and private investment assets, for example, fine wine, classic cars, racehorses, paintings, antiques, and so on and so forth. So they are a no-no. And incidentally, if a personal pension scheme, such as a SIP, purchases one of these prohibited assets, then the individual member's going to suffer a 40% tax charge on the value of the asset. And as if that's not enough, then the scheme administrator is going to be charged an additional 15%. So you do need to watch that. Okay, as we head on down towards the end of this podcast then, let's consider some benefits on retirement. Now, pensions are not normally going to be paid out of a pension scheme until the individual reaches the age of 55, and all or part of the pension fund can be taken to provide a pension at any time between that age of 55 and the age of 75. So, of course, it's possible, and of course some people are doing this, to receive a pension and still continue to work. Now, on retirement, an individual can receive a tax-free lump sum payment, and the round number is 25%. It's actually not quite that simple. It's a maximum of 25, and it's on the lower of the value of the fund, and if you're particularly lucky, perhaps your name's Sir Fred Goodwin, the lifetime allowance, although I suspect for most of our clients that's not going to be an issue. So for us it's 25% tax-free, and then you purchase an annuity with the remainder to provide a pension income for your retirement. Of course, the income received is treated as taxable, and it's liable to income tax under the normal rules. There is some flexibility in what you do draw down. So let's assume you've reached 55 and you want to take a little bit of money, perhaps to top up, but you don't want to take everything. You can use a mechanism called income drawdown, and that allows some income to be received without accessing the full fund. And so the part of the fund that's not ring-fenced to provide that temporary income can continue to grow in that tax-free environment. There's a similar rule that applies when the individual is 75 and over, and that's called the ASP, the Alternatively Secured Pension deal, but that's a little bit beyond what I'm trying to do today, so I won't say any more about that. I think I might, in finishing here, want to make reference to the lifetime allowance charge. This, again, is going to be right on the edge of the radar for most of our AAT members and their clients. But just remind yourself that if you are lucky enough to deal with somebody who's got a fund that's exceeded the lifetime allowance, then certain things will happen. The lifetime allowance for the current round of tax returns is $1.65 million. So if you're lucky enough to have a client who's got more than that, and that excess is used to fund a larger annuity, then there's going to be a tax charge of 25% on the excess. But if the taxpayer chooses to take the excess as a lump sum in cash, then the tax charge on that excess arises to a draconian 55%.